evening and welcome to the 422nd episode of Travel Itch Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, and this is the 10th season of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel Itch Radio.
And tonight, our honored guest is travel writer and author Linda Ballou. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Linda.
Hi, Dan and Mary Ellen. I'm so excited to be here.
And we're really glad to have you. And you are different than most of my travel writer colleagues because you found your own niche, adventure travel. How did that evolution happen for you?
Well, evolution is the right word because I didn't start out thinking, oh, boy, I want to be an adventure travel writer. What happened was about around in my 40s, I got injured. I was a horse person, and I was full tilt into that. And I had to think about my life, and I went, well, what can I do? I love writing. I love travel. How about adventure travel writing? And I put together a little bag of tricks and sent it off to a high-end guest ranch, and lo and behold, they said, come on up. And I've been hooked ever since. I mean, that's how I did it. That's how I became a travel writer.
Yeah, you've written several books. Are any of them autobiographical, and all of them based upon your travels?
Well, two of them are historical fiction novels, and one is a contemporary sort of young adult novel. And then I have two travel books. Lost Angel Walkabout is my collection of travel essays about the most meaningful and memorable travel experiences that I've had thus far. And then Lost Angel in Paradise is, I live in California on the coast, and I love the coast, and I have my 32 favorite day trips on the coast from Malibu to Mendocino. For people who are thinking about a road trip, it's a perfect companion, and, give you hikes, a little history, good places to eat, and fun stuff.
Oh, do you do all your writing at home, or do you also work on the road? How do you divide your time?
Well, when I'm traveling, I'm usually doing outdoor adventure like horseback riding, river rafting, hiking, that sort of thing. So during the experience, I don't write. In fact, I take very few pictures even because it pulls me out of the experience and I want to have the experience. But at the end of the day, I journal. So that I have, fresh notes when I come home. And then when I get home, I write as soon as I can, from the experience. I try not to let daily life get involved too much before I get my articles out. And I always, I always write two or three articles for my hosts. And then I try to write a personal essay for myself that will go in my next travel collection, which is, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lost Angel Unleashed.
Ooh.
I love it.
So is that your latest book?
That's the one I'm working on now. And that one's going to have some stories that are really memoir from a jaded youth, or an odd upbringing, I should say, in Alaska.
Well, tell our listeners about your latest book.
Well, my latest book, Embrace of the Wild, is inspired by the incredible life of Isabella Lucy Bird. And she was a Victorian age woman who was light years ahead of her time. And she traveled to parts of the world solo, by herself, where like Japan and Korea and China, where they'd never seen a white woman before. She was out there. And I was so impressed with the fact that she rode 800 miles solo in the Rocky Mountains in 1873. So she was not just a travel writer, she was an incredible horsewoman, too. So remember, I'm a horse person.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really identified strongly with this woman, and I wanted to write her story.
Oh, that's great. We're talking with adventure travel writer Linda Ballou.
Linda, why were you drawn to this rather obscure character in history?
Well, firstly, she was a child. She was childless by choice, and as I told you, she was extremely adventuresome, and she was a wonderful writer. When I was doing my research for my first novel set in Pre-Contact Hawaii, her book, 6 Months in the Sandwich Islands, was one that I used to get details on that world prior to missionary contact, or very close to it, and when the islands were pristine. And, you know, she just had incredible descriptive language. And then, again, you know, in the Rocky Mountains, I was doing research there for other articles, travel articles, and I met her again in her book, A Lady's Life in the Rockies.
Mm.
So she's been with me for a long time, and her story has inspired me in many different ways. And so when the pandemic came along and my wings were clipped and I was like a little caged animal, not being able to travel and really being frustrated because I was just having a ball with life. And so I went, you know what? Time has stopped here for me, and I'm going to use it to write Isabel's story. And that's what I did, and I'm really glad I did. And I've gotten really tremendous good reaction to the book.
Mm.
Okay. I think we were all caged animals during the pandemic, especially those who love to travel. But why
right.
did you identify with this Victorian age explorer?
Well, because she forged the way for the modern woman. And I go for women in history who have been overlooked, strong women in history that have been overlooked. That was the heroine of my first novel is one of those. And I find these kind of women in history, and she inspired me, and I wanted, you know, she broke through all sorts of social barriers. Victorian age women were supposed to have children, get married, and revolve around their husbands. Her father was an evangelical priest. She was supposed to be tending to the flock. You know, she was supposed to be selfless. She was supposed to be all these things. But what she was an adventurous woman, and she broke out of all of that and went on to become the first woman inducted into the Royal Geographic Society in Scotland. Mm. And she wrote 38 books and, as I say, traveled all over the world. But her life didn't start until the age of 40, really, as a travel writer.
Hmm.
Oh, so that leads into my next question. Why does the story begin in Hawaii if she lived in England until she was 40?
Okay, so all during her youth, when she was young, she had a tumor on her spine, and they operated on her unsuccessfully a couple of times without anesthesia. They gave her laudanum, which is like heroin, you know, for pain, and she became addicted to that. She was very depressed and morose. By the time she hit her 20s, she was a mess, you know, very, very, very much an invalid. So the doctors decided to put her into a brace to hold her up. Well, what it did, of course, was weakened all of her muscles.
Mm.
So at the age of 40, she was totally morose and depressed and decided to chuck it all, leave dreary old Scotland, and go on a world voyage.
Hmm.
So that's where my story begins, is the world voyage. And serendipitously, there was a storm that forced her to stop in the islands. Well, she became so enamored with the islands and the island ways that she stayed for 6 months. And in that time frame, she became liberated from the chronic pain that she had endured all her life. And so she was free. She was free physically. And it helped her spiritually, too. You know, the islands are life-giving. And from there, she goes on to Colorado. So that, to me, her life begins at 40, and so did mine as a travel writer. Remember, I was injured, and my life turned around when I was in my 40s. So that was another reason why I identified with her.
So, Linda, how would you say your character foreshadows the modern woman?
Well, she followed her dream, right?
Yeah.
She had the courage to be truly independent, to throw off the upbringing and the social barriers. She had an aunt who was a journalist who helped her in that process as a role model. She could see that a woman could, A, make a living on her own, you know, be independent. You know, you didn't have to live with your father and your husband or whatever. You could be free.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and the story goes on to demonstrate how truly independent she is and how strong it was and important it was for her to follow her own destiny, right? Not to live
mm-hmm.
through another person. So,
mm-hmm.
so there you go.
We're talking with adventure travel writer Linda Ballou. Now, you talked about some of the adversity that your character faced. Tell us more what else she had to conquer on her path to independence.
Well, essentially, it was her health. And when she got to the islands, she saw these Hawaiian men, young girls and boys, men and women, all galloping along on the horses astride, riding astride, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in England, in Victorian age England, women only rode side saddle. You weren't
mm-hmm,
a lady
mm-hmm.
if you spread your legs, you see?
That's right.
So when she saw them, she went, whoa, wow, God, I would love to join them. So she was curious about the volcano, the live volcano on the Big Island, so she went there. But in order to get to ride up the flank of the volcano, she was told she had to ride in a stride, you know, a regular saddle.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in this experience, she learned that she wasn't in pain, that she could ride without being in pain, that she could ride for hours without being in pain, and she realized that riding side saddle had exacerbated this chronic condition in her spine. So she went on to, you know, ride all over the islands, you know, for 6 months. So she broke through physical barriers, not just social barriers, and she pulled herself out of her addiction to painkillers, which is something, you know, people are dealing with today.
That's amazing.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, you know, and then the evangelical thing, she still had beliefs in the church and so on, and in her later years she, in fact, built a missionary school in, I think it was China, but, you know, but she didn't marry until she was 55, you know.
Really?
Yeah. She, you know, so there is a love story in my book, and that goes with. I would like to share that part of it with you.
Well, tell us, why did you tell the story in three parts? Isn't that kind of an unconventional approach?
Well, it is, because you're typically supposed to. I wrote the story in first person, which right there is unconventional.
Yeah.
I'm Izzy. Okay, I became Izzy for the year of the virus. And so I wrote this story in first person, which, you know, some people might think that was arrogant, but I did it in a way that I think is respectful and in keeping with her character. Her language was very flowery, so her books are written in first person, but modern readers can't really engage in it too well. You know, it's Victorian age writing. So anyway... I couldn't see how I could tell her story, which involves a romance with Rocky Mountain Jim, who was, you know, by all accounts, an alcoholic, a desperado, and kind of a wild and crazy guy. And so I couldn't get his backstory out of her, you know. She couldn't tell his story. So the first third of the book, she's in the islands, first person. The second part of the book is Jim's story, first person, and it begins 10 years earlier than the time that they meet. And in the third chapter, they meet and their worlds collide. And you can understand why these two people were kindred spirits, why they connected so strongly, even though they came from completely different backgrounds. He was a ruffian, she was a lady, you know.
She's an evangelist.
Yeah, kind of like Lady and the Tramp, if you remember that one. So anyway.
Yeah.
Okay,
anyway,
so why did you choose the Sand Creek Massacre for Mountain Jim's backstory?
Well, because in my research for this book, I learned about this hideous event in Colorado history, the Sand Creek Massacre of an Indian village, that I wanted to turn a spotlight on that because it had been shoved under the carpet by historians for many, many years. People in Colorado weren't proud of this particular incident in their history. And it didn't become a national monument until like 2005. And it was an important event because it turned the tide of the Indian Wars, because Chief Black Kettle was a peace chief. And he tried very hard to work it out with the soldiers. But the soldiers were bent on exterminating the Indians. And that's what they did and tried to do in this particular massacre. So Jim is there, and he's sickened by it because he's a friend of the Indians. And, you know, Jim heads for the hills. He becomes, you know, slowly disenchanted with society because of what they did to his friends. And he goes to the mountains, and he declares himself the guardian of the mountains in the Rocky Mountain National Park, prior to it being a park, of course. Estes Park is the gateway to the Rockies, and he declared himself the gatekeeper of the mountains, and because he was trying to preserve them, and he was also trying to preserve the life of the Indians who lived there. So that's why Jim's backstory was important to me.
Okay, these questions go together. Why was her relationship with Mountain Jim so important to her development, and what can we learn from your characters?
Okay, well, her having a romantic relationship was very important in her emotional development. Remember, she was a 40-year-old childless virgin, spinster, and had never really had a physical relationship with a man. So it is rumored that they had a physical relationship and that he asked her to marry him and that she refused. But in my story, I allow them to have that physical encounter. It's not graphic, but it enables her to know herself fully, to know her own sensuality fully, which I felt needed to happen for her to be a complete woman and for her to be able to either say yes or no to that being a determining factor in her life. So I felt it was extremely important for her to have a sexual relationship, but their connection was essentially spiritual. And the theme song in all of my writing is that nature can be our salvation, and in both of these characters, that is what happens for each of them in a different way.
Okay, we're talking with adventure travel writer and author Linda Belluto.
Linda, how are you women different from what we typically see in a Western romance novel?
Well, typically you'll see the happily ever after ending. You know, you'll see, oh, they meet, they have, you know, they at first they're not attracted to one another, but, you know, something happens that changes that, and, you know, they end up falling in love, and it all works out, and they have a little ranch and kids and live happily ever after. That would be typical. This is not happy ever after ending for their romance. She moves on. She follows her own destiny.
And what sort of research involved in writing her story?
Well, as I told you, you know, it was kind of always in there for me from the beginning of in Hawaii when I lived there, and you know, first became introduced to her in her writing about Hawaii, and then again in Colorado. And, of course, then I read books about her here. And now several, half a dozen books have been written about her. And I read her books. So, so not all of them. Not all of them.
So what would you say, how does her story break barriers?
Well, the three-part approach breaks the traditional novel, historical novel narrative style. You know, I don't, and having the first person, different characters, first person definitely breaks barriers in the novel writing apartment. Beyond that, I don't know, just the fact that she was an unconventional person and broke through so many barriers herself.
Tell us about your other books, please.
Ah, okay. Well, Wainani, A Voice from Old Hawaii is set in pre-contact Hawaii and is inspired by the life of Kahumanu, who was the favorite wife of Kamehameha the Great. Now, you probably don't know any more than you did before, but just to say, Kamehameha was the warrior who united the Hawaiian Islands, and she, his favorite wife, was the one who was responsible for the burning of the gods and the ending of the 2,000-year-old Polynesian Kapu system, you know, called for human sacrifice and things like that. So it's a historical novel, very well researched. I get tremendous reviews on that book, very proud of it. The Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon is more a contemporary young adult novel. It was my way of leaving the horse world behind. My little heroine does everything I ever wanted to do, and then some. She has a romantic relationship with Brady, who's a fire lookout up in the John Muir Wilderness. She goes up there, and guess what? She finds salvation in nature right there in those mountains, you see. So then, of course, I mentioned Lost Angel Walkabout, which is my travel collection. It starts out with my river rafting trip in Alaska, Tatchinchini River, which was a life-changing event for me. And it takes you to New Zealand, Costa Rica, half a dozen stories set in Hawaii. And I just put that one on audiobook form, and if people are interested, I can give them a free coupon for Audible audiobook for Lost Angel Walkabout. And I mentioned Lost Angel in Paradise, which is in Kindle and print format, and you can download the Kindle onto your phone so that you have live links to the trailheads and the restaurants and other things that I recommend in that book, which makes it a terrific little, you know, companion for a road trip, or, you know, or just for fun. You know, I love it myself. I'm going to go to All My Days again if I can.
We're talking with adventure travel writer Linda Ballou,
who is a prolific contributor of travel articles to magazines. Where has your byline appeared, Linda?
Well, Travel World, Real Travel Adventure, Go World, American Fitness, which is no longer with us, which is too bad. It was a great magazine. Morning Calm, the in-flight for Korea Air, and Equitrekking, Northwest Travel. And I've been on Around the World Travel TV many times, and I hope that they survive the pandemic. So far, they're not back, but yeah. And then Big Blend Radio, they have a travel publication. Oh, and I have a column, I forgot, on the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. I'm the adventure travel expert, and I post an article there every month.
Fantastic.
That's terrific. You do a lot more than sit home with your computer, though. Is it fair to say you've done New Zealand by kayak, Ecuador by equine, and island hopping in the Sea of Cortez?
True enough, and I can't wait to do more. Like I say, I just got back from rafting the Rogue River in southwest Oregon, and that was quite a thrill. And it was just wonderful just to be out on the water and the fresh air again, and there were wonderful little hikes off the river. Like, we went up to Zane Gray's cabin. He lived there, and he wrote his stories there on the Rogue. He loved the river, and It was just a wonderful thing to get out. And then I did the road trip down to the Redwoods, and I got to hike in the Stout Grove, which is a magical experience to be in the Redwoods and feel their energy and breathe in that oxygen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the coast of Oregon is stunning. I think it rivals Big Sur. It's very dramatic. Of course, you can't swim in it. That's why I kind of love California.
Okay, I love Alaska, and I've been there several times, once on a two-week press trip that was half on water and half on land. Didn't you get your initial inspiration there?
Yes, I have to say that having my younger years in Alaska influenced me tremendously, because I went up there when I was 13. My parents homesteaded up there and transplanted us when I was a teen. And it was kind of a lonely little experience for me. So I went on these long walks in nature, you know, and nature became my solace and inspiration and where I felt centered and just breathed in the beauty of the place. And I must say, in all my travels, I've not been anywhere that I think rivals the majesty of Alaska.
And we're talking with adventure travel writer Linda Ballou. Mary Ellen?
Linda, for somebody who obviously hates to stay in one place very long, how did you cope with the year of the pandemic? And I know that the pandemic factored into your book, Embrace of the Wild.
Well, basically that was it. Writing the book saved my sanity. You know, at first I was like you said, you know, like a little animal chewing their leg off, you know, and being very, you know, a little bit angry. Although I had just returned from Australia, and I'd had like almost a month in Australia, so I was good for a while there, because I had tons to write about, and it was kind of grueling, and so, you know, I was happy to be home to rest and everything. But being locked down was, you know, pretty hard for me. So I went, you know what, let's just turn this lemon into limoncello, you know. Let's not be, let's make it a good time. And, you know, it was a very valuable time for me, because I wouldn't have gotten that book out had I not been stopped in my tracks, because I was just having too much fun.
Okay,
and so
just about 2 minutes to go. Linda, you and I have been travel journalists for a long time, so we both have a lot of favorites. Since you're the guest, let's hear yours. Favorite destination, hotel, airline, and, of course, favorite state.
Okay. Well, I have to say New Zealand is my favorite destination. It's like California 50 years ago. You know, it's not crowded. It's beautiful. It's easily accessed. I loved, had a wonderful time in New Zealand. My favorite hotel, and I rarely stay at high-end hotels, but on one of my trips I was given time at the Fairmont on the Gold Coast on the Big Island, and I must say it was so lovely. And I got a massage on the shore. That was one thing I'd asked for. Could I get a massage right on the water and hear the waves lapping? And they gave
okay.
it to me.
I've got
to
interrupt you. I'm sorry, because we are running out of time. Thank you to adventure travel writer, author, and colleague Linda Ballou. Thank you for being our guest on Travel It Radio.
Thank you. You can find my books at lindabalouauthor.com or on Amazon. Thank you so much, Dan and Mary Ellen. It's been great.
Thank you.
And that's it for this edition of Travel It Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, same announcers, we'll talk with Sirius satellite radio DJ Flash Phelps of 60s on 6 about his travels across America. Don't miss it. Now, this is Dan Schlossberger, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.